Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Colonel Eric Lopez is one of the U.S. Army's most senior recruiting officials and commander of the 3rd Recruiting Brigade. Today, he teaches a class on leadership at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Even though it's directed at the Reserve Officers Training Corps, anyone can attend. It's from 4 to 5 local time in the classroom building, room 204. And he joins us now live from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City. Colonel Lopez, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
A little Lopez on leadership. I found your YouTube channel and thought I'd watch a couple videos, and I ended up like taking notes and this is really useful. So for the rest of us too. So tell me a little bit about yourself and where your Army career, some combat deployments and some recruiting work. Give me a little background.
Sure. I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut. I went to West Point, graduated in 1996. I've been in the Army for 22 years. I've got 7 deployments. I've got a great family. I've been married for 21 years. My wife is being nominated for sainthood for all the moves and all the deployments. And I have 2 boys, an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. And I am now in the exciting adventure that is Army recruiting, and just excited to be doing that.
So think back to when you were being recruited, and you're that 17, 18-year-old, or however old you are, when you start thinking about an Army career. And, I'm a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, and recruiters lie. So talk a little bit about how that's changed, and, recruiters are telling the truth about who the Army is and who you can become through the process of joining.
Sure. I mean, the Army just has so much to offer that they don't need to make anything up when it comes to great pay and bonuses and college and loan repayment and free college and, 150 different jobs in the Army. There's just so many opportunities to change your life. And that's really what I love about this job and why I've continued to stay in for 22 years is to watch the transformation that young people go through when they join the Army. And that's all we got to tell young people, and they'll come in.
Yeah, it's the old saw. It's the old joke about what the recruiters tell you. But tell me why you joined in the first place. What were you looking for as a younger man?
The challenge is really what drew me to the military. My dad took me to a West Point briefing when I was 16 years old. And I was sold. I wanted the challenge. I wanted the excitement that an Army career would offer. And I was accepted to some great schools. I was accepted at Vanderbilt and Johns Hopkins. But I thought, man, you know what? I'm going to go to the military academy and make a decision to serve my country and to lead America's finest. And that's really what has happened over the last 22 years.
Tell me a little bit about your decision to sort of, talk about leadership in a way that people can access it online, some of the conversations that you have. Where did that sort of initiative come from?
So I was sitting in the Army War College. So the Army paid me to go to school and get a second master's degree for a year. And I said, I have got to be able to connect with America's youth. And I'm a 44-year-old Army colonel. How am I going to do that? So I dove into social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and I chose a platform that's something passionate and near and dear to my heart, and that is talking about leadership. And it's not just leadership in the Army or the government. It's leadership in community, in business, in all facets of what we do here in our nation. So that's how I got into and launched Lopez on Leadership.
When people think about leadership in the armed services, they often have a very rigid sort of command structure, chain of command kind of view, whether that's accurate and based on their experience or whether that's just, imaginative. And you're really talking about opening the door to a different kind of vision of what leadership is in a modern U.S. Army, contemporary business and philosophy of leadership. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Absolutely. And what we call it is mission command. And mission command seeks to give clear guidance to our subordinates and then empower them to take the initiative in their own way. So the idea of the drill sergeant, yelling orders that must be followed to the T, we just don't operate like that anymore. Our nation has asked us to do so many different things, and we've asked our young leaders to make tough decisions, whether it's in Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa, whether it's fighting wildfires, it's down helping with the hurricanes. We can't have that rigid leadership system. That's why we went to Mission Command, where we give clear guidance and we empower our subordinates to make their own decisions. And that's the culture we're trying to build in the Army when it comes to leadership.
How challenging is that? Because, there's not in many areas, there's not a lot of room for error. There are life and death situations. Your effectiveness matters greatly. You don't have the room to fail that a lot of people have in their daily lives. So when you're trying to not only transition from one sort of conceptual form of leadership to another, but you're trying to solve these really intense problems, what are some of the obstacles and the bumps in the road? How do you get over them?
Yeah, Mission Command is based on trust. Mm-hmm. And that trust comes from a relationship. It's not the leader yelling. It's not, like that. It's a relationship where you care for the person first, you care about them, and then you can challenge them. And that comes and that builds trust. So then you can put that person out 200 miles away from you, give them clear guidance, and let them go. And you don't have to micromanage them. And, the funny thing is our businesses are looking for the exact same thing in our young leaders. And that's why the Army is such a great place to come in, learn leadership, and then come back to your community and contribute in many different ways.
How do you work on building that trust? If say you're coming into a new situation and you see a team that's not functioning in a way that exemplifies these priorities, how do you start from scratch and sort of build trust when things aren't functioning well? How do you get there?
We do it by training. And we do it by extremely tough, realistic training so that you build that trust on the practice field. And then when you go on the deployment or you go to exercise it, it comes as second nature. So I always tell people, when you think about the Army, think highly skilled, highly trained. That's what we want our entire Army to be, and that's what we want our leaders to be.
How did you develop yourself as a leader and not only some, those early, Army War College experiences, but as you teach about leadership, as you work on recruitment, you're still in the process of sort of learning the next thing that helps you personally to grow as a leader, I'm guessing. Talk a little bit about your own journey and how the ways in which has become more clear to you what you need to do personally.
In the Army, leaders are readers. We want leaders that are reading and learning not just military books and doctrine. We want people to understand what's going on in the community, what's going on in the nation, and learn from all aspects of our life and what's going on in the world and develop themselves through that self-development part. And then obviously we're going to put people in experiential situations where they're going to learn, develop, and grow by the experience that they go through. And then we also have some great schooling opportunities. A lot of times when people think about the Army, they don't think about education, but education is so highly valued in our culture. We take time to send our soldiers to school, to training, to free a college that they can attend while they're in the Army, because we want them to grow and develop as leaders.
Do you find that people who are interested in joining the Army today are thinking more broadly about a full career, or are they thinking, I'm going to sign up for 4 years? It seems like since I joined the Marines so many years ago, there has been a shift to where it used to be you might join for college money. And now it seems like more and more people are joining because this is what they want to do with their lives.
I think we see a little bit of both. I think we see some people come in and they may have come from a military family. They know they want to serve for a long time. But we also see people who come in and want to take advantage of those benefits. They want to change the situation that they're in. And it's great if they can come in and serve and then go back to their community and serve and be a leader in their community. But a lot of times they come in, they see the values that are espoused in the Army. They see the teamwork, the camaraderie, and they decide to stay and make it a career.
You're in the business of forming adults in a way as well. And lately on the show, it seems like we've had a lot of conversations about World War II veterans, coming home and the different things they did in public service and politics and leadership. Talk a little bit about just really inviting people into an environment where you're really kind of changing who they're going to grow into as grown-ups.
Right. And that starts with holding them to a high standard and being firm on that, that we set a standard for a reason, and that is so we can have a team that can fight this nation's wars. And that's what the Army is about. So we hold people to high standards, physical standards, mental standards, moral standards that they may not have grown up with, but that's what allows that transformation to occur. And that's it's just great to watch our young people grow and develop inside that culture and environment that we have in the Army.
I want to ask you some questions that you like to ask your guests on Lopez on Leadership, the YouTube channel. What's your number one leadership tip? What's the thing that people say, oh, yep, Colonel Lopez has said that again. I've heard that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for from my junior leaders is initiative. And it's something that's becoming more and more uncommon with our junior leaders growing up. You know, I tell them, first thing you do is do what your boss says. The second thing, and the thing that really separates you, is when you can understand the environment, understand the bigger picture, and find opportunities to take initiative on your own. That's bringing ideas to your boss. That's what we're looking for in the Army, and that's what the business world is looking for too, is young people with initiative and building a culture where that's honored, that's expected, and that's taught is what I try to do in my organization and one of the things we try to do inside the whole Army.
But you say that you want that initiative to fit into your boss's overall intent as well. So the initiative still goes back to what is the overall mission and priorities of this organization.
That is. One of the phrases we use is disciplined initiative. So it's not just, you know, some people get mission command confused and think, well, I can just do what I want. That's not exactly how it works, but we want people to take initiative inside their boss's guidance, and that's something that we value.
Who's one of the best leaders you worked for and why?
I would say General Joseph Votel. He is a commander of Central Command. He's born and bred St. Paul, so he's a Midwestern guy. Man, you didn't want to let him down. You had an entire organization. I worked for him in 1st Ranger Battalion. You did not want to let him down. And he cared about us. Again, he cared about us. He set an example, an incredible example of fitness, of morality, of suffering side by side with us. And he built a culture in that unit where it was a tight team. Nobody wanted to let each other down, and we didn't want to let him down. And he's a mentor I still keep in touch with and still want to emulate as we move forward.
Give advice to your younger self. Take that time machine back that you're always telling people to take back and give yourself some advice. What would it be?
One of my biggest regrets was not majoring in a language when I was at West Point. Yeah. At West Point, I was trying to survive to the next day. I majored in the easiest thing possible, which was history for me, just kind of inside my wheelhouse. And I'm going through this same discussion with my son. He's a freshman in college, and I'm trying to get him to visualize his major will matter when he graduates. Don't just major in the easiest thing. Really try to see the future and see what major is going to help set you up for success. That's hard to do for a young 18-year-old. It was hard for me to do, but that's probably the advice I would give to myself if I went back in time is to major in a language and something I could really use in my Army career.
Right. So follow up with that kid, though, because he's going to look at you and say, I'm just trying to get by day by day. So were there things that you look back on and you could say, this is how you get by day, so you can take on that bigger challenge and you're not just surviving, you're building something for the future?
It really comes down to seeing yourself. And I truly couldn't and really struggled to see myself as a young person. That's that emotional intelligence that I think a lot of us lack when we're younger. So how do we breed that into our children and to our young people to see? And that's really what we're doing in Army recruiting. See yourself after 3 years when you've gained these skills and experiences. That's really hard to do, but that's what our recruiters are out there doing every day, is trying to get young people to see a better version of themselves down the road. And for our, you know, you only live once generation, that can be tough, but that's what we really try to do.
Are we taking care of our soldiers and military personnel effectively, not only from a family perspective? You have a family and you've, you know, 7 combat tours. It doesn't seem like something that would be particularly easy on a family. And are we taking care of them when they get out? What do you think needs to be done from a policy standpoint to really ensure that people are well-trained, survive, and thrive in a career or beyond?
I think we're doing a pretty good job. The benefits that we have for our soldiers on post, when it comes, you know, every brigade in the Army has a financial advisor inside the brigade to help our soldiers with their finances. Multiple behavioral health outlets. We have the chaplain, we have military family life consultants, we have, you know, professional behavioral health experts. You know, there's an Army Community Services that is there to help families to grow, and families with young people that might have, you know, issues or educational issues. So I think there's a tremendous, a lot of benefits to take care of our soldiers inside the Army. And we're really getting better at that same thing once they get out. The Soldier for Life program and the opportunities for veterans, the hiring opportunities, the post you know, 9/11 GI Bill, so they can get education benefits. There really are a lot of great things out there. You know, I go to my father goes to the VA down in Florida, and I'm always just astounded. It's such a great facility, and they really take care of him. Now, are there some places out there where the VA probably needs to improve? Maybe, yes, but on the whole, we really do a great job of taking care of our veterans and giving them the ultimate, giving them great opportunities to excel.
Eric, we've got just a minute left or so. You said leaders or readers. Tell us some of your book recommendations or podcast recommendations. What sort of material do you hand to some of those younger junior officers or younger enlisted service members?
Yeah, I'm listening to a book right now called Culture Code, and it's about understanding our culture, all the cultures, and why we make decisions. It's very insightful. So that just happens to be the one I'm reading right now. Probably some of my favorites out there are The Ugly American, written in the 50s prior to the Vietnam War about how we interact with other countries. And man, that I've read that and kept that close to me on all my deployments. And then when it comes to pure leadership, Gates of Fire, Stephen Pressfield, How to Be a True Servant Leader. And he does a great job of laying that out. So those are kind of three of my favorites I'm looking at.